I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I got to tell you, that's what they would probably call whirlwind weekend. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where. I did almost nothing yesterday. I was kind of worn down. Jumped in the car after the show on Friday and drove, supposed to be about 8 hours. Of course, they make a misturn here and a misturn there. And next thing you know, it's a little bit longer than that. Met up with Bobby Lee out somewhere near Allentown, PA, and we drove into New York City, into Queens, New York. Did some street ministry in Queens, New York. Jumped in the car right after we were done on, what day was that, Bobby? Saturday. We went out on Friday. We came back on Saturday. I got home wee hours Sunday morning and vegetated a little bit yesterday. Tried to get, sometimes I feel my age. But had great ministry time in New York. Now the crowd wasn't big. Crowd's never big. In fact, you know, when David Paxton invited us to come out, one of the things they want to do is they're trying to, I'm seeing more and more of this, by the way, people, they want to do something. They just don't know what to do. They just don't know. But so, you could all say, man, you don't have to, but nobody knows. We really don't know what to do. We see everything coming down around us. We understand. We see a phrase I once used in an issue was, I see which way this river runs. And I do. I see which way the river runs. I think more and more Americans see which way the river runs. And we don't know what to do about it. And I was two things really, really hit me when we were in New York City. Number one, folks are lying to us. The media is lying to us. Even in inner city New York, there are a lot of people know what's going on. Lots and lots and lots going on. And one of the things that was really, really heartening to me, not disheartening, but heartening, encouraging to me, is our crowd, we only had maybe 20, 25 people. They were hoping for 200. I knew that. I've been around long enough to know that that's not going to happen. But about our crowd was about 50-50 black and white. 50-50 black and white. And we didn't really have a plan of what we were going to do. They were going to talk about have a little march down, support the blue, yada, yada, yada. So what it ended up being is I trained them. That sounds arrogant. We showed them how to do what I call a honk and wave. A honk and wave. And that's where you just stand on the street corner and you hold up a sign, whatever the sign is, back the blue or whatever it would be. Hold up signs and let people honk and wave at you. And what that begins to do after a while, it begins to build confidence and encouragement that you are not alone. And after about, I don't know, we'd been out there a couple hours. After I realized what was going on, got a good feel, got my feet under me. There were 20, 25 of us holding signs. I realized, I said, man, listen, we're not asking them to do anything. They drive by and some real quietly give the thumbs up. You know, I said, oh, man, we have to put a directive on our sign, say, honk if you back the blue. Honk if you support Trump. Honk. And once they got that figured out, we got honk on the sign. Then the energy really, really, really began to build. You know, I saw somewhere that 75%, a statistic I came across, 75% of those who support conservative values are afraid to say so. They're afraid to say so because they'll be assaulted, they'll be attacked, they'll be punched. Vinny had urine thrown at him. Yeah, Vinny's a real person. Yeah, we'll get him in here in a second. So the silent majority just decides that they're going to stay silent. Just going to stay silent. It was awesome as we watched it that some of the people came up out of the subway. There were several of them that came up that, of course, they didn't have really nice things to say, and they kept telling us we're number one, if you know what I'm talking about. And some of the folks went over there and actually began, got a dialogue going with him. And folks, you can feel the momentum begin to build as we begin to push back. We got to push back. We got to push back. And so we were out on the streets for about, I don't know, 4 hours, holding signs, honking and waving in downtown Queens, New York. Let me show you something else I know about. I know this to be true. Queens, New York is about 2 days away, maybe three. 2 days away from starvation. You walk down the streets of Queens, New York, and you go into the little delis and the little fruit stores that they have and little whatevers. They're all just, it's just like you would see in a movie. In fact, I kept saying that to Vinny and some other. I feel like I'm in a movie, man. I feel like I'm in a movie. And you walk in there and you see that they have peaches on the shelves. They got tangerines. And I'm thinking, where did these things come from? They're in the field around here. They're in the garden around here. Anywhere? Where'd all these come from? And then you realize that everything that they're eating in their markets has come from outside. You realize that 7, 8, 9, 10, 13, however many million people there are in New York. Boy, are they dependent on trucks. Boy, are they dependent on something shipping their food to them. And we are a 2 or 3 day shutdown away from absolute calamity in the inner city. And I encourage everybody I know, people I love that showed up. I said, get out of the city. Get out of the city. Get out of here. Because by the time it all begins to happen, It's gonna be too late. I want to thank Bobby Lee for jumping in there and riding with me. And Bobby's a warrior, and he it was a long ride for me. So Bobby drove the last 3 hours in, and then the first 3 hours out when we left yesterday, and whatever day that was, made my day a little bit more bearable getting home. Got home really late. Made a wrong turn. Anyway, doesn't matter. Rained all the way, pounded rain all the way across Pennsylvania. And I ended up on that Pennsylvania Turnpike, and I hate to pay them money to drive on the road. I don't know why my GPS took me on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, but I was livid. But there I was. Had to pay that. I don't know how much that would be, $30 or probably something. Ran into Lorna. We met Lorna in Mark Trump. Some of you folks out there, Mike Heath, Polly Heath. Some fruit from the Equal Justice Tour. Some of those folks showed up. The ones when we were in Connecticut, they came down. It's still alive and well out there. And Lorna made me some cookies. It was good to see her. And Vinny, go to Facebook real quick. I want you guys to, Mike, if you could, go to my Facebook page. Vinny's a real person. He's a real person. I'll show you the picture of Vinny who showed up. Couldn't find this. I thought he was setting this up because he says, well, I'll be right there. Kept texting me. I'll be there, coach. I'll be there. Because Vinny he wasn't there. I said, what's going on, Vinny? Scroll on down. You get a good video maybe of Vinny standing here. Those of you who wonder, is Vinny real? I say, oh, yeah, Vinny's real. There's some pictures. We could pop some of those up there. I don't want to make the whole show about the trip there, but let you know that it still matters, man. Still matters. Oh, that's a great video right there we're going to see. There's another one. Oh, yeah, we'll show that one here in a few minutes. But I got Vinny. I got a Vinny video on here somewhere. Oh, there was Christopher. Got to get him up in here too. Keep scrolling, Mike. I'm sorry, man. Just kind of random how we pop. There. Now go next one. There's some more. We back the blue. Keep going. I want to see Vinny. But there he is. There you are, folks. You want to see Vinny's real? Bobby Lee made this video of Vinny. So let's hear from Vinny here. Bear with me. We're trying to get the sound going here. Vinny's really, really tall, and I'm really, really short, I guess.
Is Vinny a real person? Vinny is a real person. Not only that, he's a big person.
Vinny is real.
And maybe a tranny. I haven't figured that one out yet. He may be. But Vinny finally made it. We're in Queens. He came from Brooklyn, right, Vinny?
That's right.
Vinny came down from Brooklyn. We're out here holding up. You know what's amazing? There's as many black faces here as there are white faces down here.
Imagine that.
What do you think, Vinny?
Imagine that. So you hear the whole thing. This whole race war, it's never going to happen because we are all the same. We are all the same. The skin is a veneer. That's all it is. It's all nonsense. Meat suit. You believe that nonsense. It's a meat suit. That's right. We are spirits inhabiting these meat suits. And you better inhabit it right. Better be right with God. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. You be a fool, you'll end up a locust in hell.
That's what happens. Get that one right, bro. That would be the biggest mistake that you ever made. So, David Paxton's one of us all here. We've had a great afternoon out here in the sunshine in Queens, New York. And again, just want everybody to know Vinny's a real guy.
I'm the real deal. Vinny's children are not sex toys. You better believe it.
All right. Yeah, Vinny's real. I actually laid hands on him a minute ago, touched him, and I sat here less than 10 minutes ago, Vinny. Somebody threw a bottle of something at you.
Back here.
Well,
I'm not
going to
pick up the bottle.
Dude, right over here.
Somebody threw a bottle. It didn't hit me. It came close. That's not water. So some filthy animal peed into a bottle and then flung it at us. But guess what? Your judgment is coming.
I'm sure he wasn't racist, man. That guy, no racist.
I could care less if he was racist. It doesn't mean anything to me. The whole racist thing is a canard. It's a canard. So believe if you want, but you're a fool if you do.
All right.
Bless you, man. Thanks, Bobby.
All right. Hey, Vinny. Come in here live, Vinny. Give us your take on our trip to New York.
Yeah, I had a heck of a trip getting there. It's all because the MTA decided that Van Wyck Boulevard was now called Briarwood. Thanks, MTA. Ugh, ridiculous. Anyway, fantastic to see you guys again.
And Vinny, the good thing was we found some black conservatives. I didn't even know why we have to call them black conservatives. But Vinny, we had some powerful people out on the street there, didn't we?
Amen. I bless all those people who came out. And they stayed long after I was gone.
Amen. So it's all good. All good. All good. I want to acknowledge before I get too much farther. Is Chad in here? Chad, did you have an event this weekend, man? How did it go? Anybody down at Chad's? Tell us how Chad's event went.
Yeah, I'm here.
How'd it go, Chad?
Yeah, we had a great weekend, of course. 28 people showed up, so it was awesome. We did some training, had a lot of spirit-filled weekend and some deliverance there on Sunday. So it was amazing. It was just, I mean, you know, you just got to attend all of these events that we're doing. Whether we go there, Ohio or Wisconsin or Kentucky, Pennsylvania, any of those, but to really experience it, you just got to go. That's how you got to do it.
And folks, we're doing the best that we can, excuse me, to try to make these events regional. So that you, wherever you are, you can get to them. The relationships that we form at these, I'm just telling you, man. And you know, we've all been kind of kicked in the rear end a little bit here because of the COVID and all that stuff that's going on. And we've backed off on gathering up and assembling ourselves together and all that stuff that we talk about. And so we have to begin to really, really amp up and get these things back on our schedule. We got one coming. Bobby's got one going down in Kentucky in the last week of August, I think that is. We're going to do a second tactical training the first week of October. Chad's going to come back in. Rob Pugh is setting up a tactical training. I think it's September 11 and 12. We don't have all that up on the schedule yet. It's all my fault. I've been a little bit behind the eight ball and getting some of this stuff together. But I can't emphasize to you enough, folks, the importance of getting ourselves together. So we just got like three dates that are on the schedule, and I can tell you I have more. So we'll get it updated. First week of October, I already told you. We're going to have a second tactical training here at Sky High. We'll get you more information on that. Don't miss it. Warrior Summit with Jamie Walden out in Missouri someplace. Rob Pugh's organized, as I said, okay? So try to get to these things, man. Try to get to them. One of the things that again, I saw the real power of is just the crazy old honking wave that we did and ended up doing in Queens, New York. Hold up signs, honk if you support the police. Honking the horn creates an energy because otherwise the silent majority really is silent. We really are silent. And so we think that everybody agrees with the left, and I'm going to tell you they don't agree with the left. Fact of David Paxton He found a pizza place right on the main drag, you know, Queens Avenue or Queens Boulevard, whatever it's called. And he went in there and talked to the pizza guy. And after we were done, we walked into this pizza place and the guy almost gave us pizza. It was like $3 a slice, this fantastic pizza. And we got like maybe 10 pieces of it plus drinks. And all he took was a $20 bill. Now, was he publicly standing up and supporting? No, but folks, it's the silent majority. We really are. And so I just want to encourage all of you to understand that we got a very, very short period of time. What is today? Is it really 3 months from tomorrow, Larry? Is that what it is? 3 months from tomorrow is the election? And I'm telling you, the left is amping it up, and they're going to get more and more strategic, and they're going to get more and more bold. And we're going to have to do the same thing as well. So, yes. Come on in, Jeff.
Just to let you know, we do have that higher Brett thing going on tomorrow, Tuesday at 3 and 6 o'clock, two sessions. But here's what we did over the weekend. This is really cool. And we're going to do another one in October and another one in February. It's called Junior Boot Camp. All of our kids and grandkids. We had young kids out there. Pastor Bill's brother's got a place that's out remotely tucked in the hills out there in Spring Mountain outside of Warsaw. No cell phone service there. With a pond and land, Pastor Bill's built a rock wall where you climb one side, rappel down the other. We had 24 of us out there, a bunch of little kids. I mean, 6 and 8 years old and 10, shooting guns, gun safety, first aid, self-defense. They camped Thursday night, Friday night, into Saturday evening. I'm telling you, it was a hoot. But we're going to take these young boys out and train them up on how to survive. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
You're going to do one. The one in February is really going to be cool. That is going to be cool. But
listen, folks, I'm going to tell you this, Jeff. God bless you. Folks, listen, this is all good. We don't have an urgency. We have no urgency. We have 90 days. Hell's going to break loose in the next 90 days. And I salute you, Jeff. We should have been doing this kind of stuff for the past 5-10 years, reengaging our young kids and our young boys in particular. We're 90 days out. 90 days out, folks. 90 days out from a election like we've probably never even seen in our lifetime, and where there's going to be mail-in ballots. Can you believe that? Can you believe mail-in ballots? Can you believe that all of those guys went down for John Lewis's funeral down in Kentucky? None of them wore any masks. Did you know that they're supposed to have a 14-day quarantine when you come back to D.C.? If you've been outside of D.C., 14-day quarantine before you can come back. Did any of them do that? No. Bible says that because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. And we are in the midst of lawlessness, and we are teaching and coaching and breeding lawlessness. They are making laws. I believe this. Hear me. First of all, they're making laws that aren't laws. And they're making laws designed to not be followed. That's exactly what we see going on. When they make these laws, they aren't laws, about masks being worn, they're just setting people up to disobey them. The lawlessness, antinomianism, don't follow the law. That's what just setting us up, folks. That's what's going on. I'm okay, you're okay, do whatever you want to. This group of people will follow the law, and this group of people won't follow the law, and someone's going to be influenced. Equal justice to our equal justice under the law. There isn't any. There is not any equal justice under the law. And the sooner we understand that, the sooner we realize that those of us who carry the name of Christ are the ones who are obeying these unrighteous, ungodly laws, and realize that the left is not obeying the ungodly laws, then we'll see how badly this football field is tilted and why we're in the mess we're in. Because we've decided we're going to follow these ungodly laws, and the left's decided there ain't no laws. Anybody with me? What do you think, Jack? Am I making sense, Jack? Is that really what's going on? They're getting the rest of us to obey laws that aren't even laws, and then they don't obey any laws at all. Anybody want to weigh in on that?
That's exactly what it is. The laws are used to subvert good people. They're not used to control bad people.
It's by design, folks. It's by design. They're doing it by design. Go ahead, Jack.
Because that makes everyone a lawbreaker, and therefore they can prosecute selectively whoever they want to use. So this has been going on for years. at the local level, and even in ordinances. Well, those are just in case somebody comes in and does things we don't like.
Hey, Mike, click on FBI New. Right down to the bottom, click on FBI New. Folks, listen, we got to wake up. We got to wake up. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but I did. Ghislaine Maxwell documents unsealed. Allegation against Prince Andrew, Bill Clinton, others. The FBI had evidence of these crimes for years. Does that make anybody else's blood boil other than mine?
Absolutely.
The FBI knew about it, had evidence of it for years and years. And look at that picture of Bill Clinton on there. You know what he's laughing about? He's laughing that we're following the laws and he isn't. That's what he's laughing about.
Right. It's mockery. He's mocking us.
They're mocking us, folks. They're mocking us. The FBI. Imagine if you could, your 15-year-old daughter sex trafficked by Bill Clinton and the FBI knew it. Your daughter, your 15-year-old daughter. What would you do? What would you do? And so we load up a bunch of people. We take them to Chappaqua, New York. We talk about equal justice under the law, and people don't get it. They don't get it. See, I wish I could. Hey, Mike. Mike, I'm going to see how good you are. Google John Lewis's funeral, which was held in Georgia, where all the potentates and dignitaries showed up, and none of them wore a mask. None of them. See if you can find a picture of the crowd not wearing masks, Mike. I saw one this morning. I should have captured it. All of them in the church not wearing masks. But we have to, right? We have to wear masks. Did they have to quarantine themselves after they left? No, they didn't. They didn't. See, there's a set of rules for us. There's a picture. That's not the one I was looking at. I saw it yesterday. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Folks, it's called antinomianism, against the law. No law. Lawlessness. A set of rules for you and then a set of rules for them. And they're able to get away with it. Why? Because they're the ones who are. The FBI knew. FBI knew. Hey, Mike, do this while I'm on it before I switch gears here. Click on, go to my Facebook page, Mike. That's where it is. I'm sorry. Pedos in school. I think it's up above that one, Mike. Are you guys sitting down? It's about 4 minutes. Keep going. Next one, maybe next one, next one. It's the next one. There it is. Play this 4 minutes, Mike. Schools are teaching pedophilia as sexual orientation. Going on in American schools right now. Time out. Look at the date. August 1st, 2020. That would be like Saturday. Would that be like Saturday? This is fresh news. All right? Fresh news. 4 minutes and 32 seconds. Schools are teaching pedophilia as a sexual orientation. Go ahead, Mike, play that.
Pedophiles should be adjusted.
We have a school administrator in California actually arguing that we need to, and they are, even as we speak, teaching pedophilia to children as just another option for sexual orientation. Give us the story.
You know, this concerned mother asked the assistant superintendent of curricula in the Brea Olinda School District in California why they were teaching children pedophilia and normalizing anal sex. What she says is, well, you know, this is a sexual orientation that has occurred, and so it's, quote, really important to teach the children about this, and they are.
Answer me why you're teaching pedophilia in school at ninth grade. Right here.
I've explained to you that this is done because we are talking about historical perspectives of how gender relations and different types of sexual orientations have existed in history.
A growing storm of protest over these sex ed books, with drawings so graphic we can't show them to you on TV. For students curious about their sexual orientation or just wanting to know more about sexual activities.
And different sexual acts that are extremely harmful to them, that are going to put them in physical, emotional, and mental harm.
Too much to worry! Too much to worry! Let kids be kids!
They're against a new sex ed curriculum that would be taught in Fremont schools. It would include discussion of sexual orientation and HIV in fifth grade.
It's very sexually explicit to a lot of them.
The guidelines are about sex trafficking, sexual orientation, and how to support transgender and LGBTQ students. Now, proponents say this is all needed to make sure that all students understand their sexual health and that they're aware of the reality of the world that we live in.
Including Planned Parenthood.
We don't want students and children and parents to be in a situation where they are just mindlessly searching on the internet and who knows what they're going to find.
The Associate Superintendent for Instruction said the subject matter has been vetted by experts.
Is pedophilia experts. A sexual orientation?
A psychologist at the world-renowned Center for Addiction and Mental Health in Toronto says yes. Dr. James Cantor says pedophilia is an inborn condition, not a learned sexual behavior.
Nobody chooses to be attracted to whatever it is that they're attracted to. Nobody chose to be attracted to adults. Nobody chose to be attracted to children.
The theory is becoming more prominent.
Last fall, the American Psychological Association was criticized when its most recently published psychologist's manual called Pedophilia in Orientation.
A small group of psychiatrists and other mental health professionals is advocating changes to the way the American Psychiatric Association defines pedophilia in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, or DSM, saying those they call...
I don't know if you noticed, folks, they said a small group of psychologists. In other words, when the normal people stand up and begin to push back, what do they say? Well, it's just a small group of psychologists. Like pedophiles are the majority of people. That wouldn't be just a small group of people, would it? You didn't mention that they said a small group of those who want to have sex with children. You didn't hear them say that, did you? You didn't hear them say a small group of men who want to have sex with other men. Oh, no, no, no. They act like they're everywhere, but a small group of psychologists have risen up against it. Go ahead, Mike.
Minor attracted persons are being unfairly stigmatized. Dr. Fred Berlin, associate professor at Johns Hopkins University Medical School, was a keynote speaker at a conference held by the group in Baltimore, Maryland last week.
If there are people out there who are attracted through no fault of their own towards children, we want to try to assist them.
But Berlin admits there were some at the conference who suggested sexual relations between adults and children are acceptable.
The whole conference was slanted very clearly to the notion that pedophilia was a normal variation of human sexual conduct.
The group Berlin spoke to has one goal, to move society a step closer to accepting sexual contact between adults and children, even decriminalize it.
Absolutely. Oh, they're very clear about that. Their goal is to take all shame out of the lust for children.
Pedophilia is an unchangeable sexual orientation, just like, for example, heterosexuality. No one chooses to be a pedophile. No one can cease being one.
At American public libraries and in public schools, we're inviting transvestites to come to read to our kindergartners who actually have records, twice it happened in Houston, for having molested kids in the past.
Well, there it is, folks. That's pretty much mainstream. Coming to a school near you. Coming to a school near you. Don't worry. We're Jesus is in control. Jesus is in control. And we're all soon about to be out of here anyway. So don't worry a thing about it. Thank God the public schools are closed down. Somebody come on in.
Yeah, I want to jump in here. Hold on. Listen, I remember when that DSM-5 came out around 2014. There was so many new diagnoses created out of this joke of a psychological Bible. Nobody knew how to use it or interpret it, and everybody looked at each other like they were crazy. There was trainings everywhere to go to figure out how to bless people with new fabricated, created psych diagnoses. I know these psychologists. I know these clowns. I have sat around the table for years with more master's level and PhD morons. So nobody can tell me how great they think a PhD is when they're weak, cowardice fools that can bless you with anything they want, while another PhD or a qualified master's level person can bless you with something different. It's based on two things. These diagnoses are based on social and political issues of the day and the preference of the person that wants to bless you with a diagnosis that they think that you are.
And the diagnosis simply gives you permission to do whatever the heck you want to do. Is that
yeah,
right,
and it gets you into the system. The money trains begin to flow after that, and then they can control you, manipulate you, or place you and bring the state power in to remove you and do whatever they want with you.
Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, the activism part of what we need to be doing is keep schools closed. Keep schools closed.
Yes, sir. That's right. That's right, Larry. And then we ought to come back to the same thing. Return us our tax dollars. Close down the schools and send me my tax dollars back.
Hey, that's Coach. Right.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know what's next? Teaching bestiality.
No.
Oh.
They'll never do that.
No, they would never do that.
No. They would never. Dave. They'd never do that. Yeah, Chad.
Okay, I'm just going to say, you know, a while back, there was a guy that used to come, Big Rich. Now, he said he was a probation officer. And so ever since he said this, I always started saying it. So when they say, well, I was born like this, I was born a pedophile, and he would look at him and he'd say, you know, I was born a serial killer.
That's right.
And the only thing that keeps me from doing it is just my moral compass.
That's right.
That's ridiculous to say you're born with these things. You develop it because you're a pervert.
Amen. You practice it. Go, Jack.
2012 NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act, just simply, amongst many things that were just crazy in there, they simply erased the ban on bestiality from the UCMJ. Just erased it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's only because, Jack, a very small group of people rose up against it, as they would like to say, right? Doesn't matter. Everybody else is for it. It's just a small group of malcontents.
Actually,
who
just
fight it.
They were just chicken haters.
Yeah, that's what it was. Just chicken haters. Hey, can I encourage you here a little bit? Let me encourage you. I don't mean to be all bad news here on Monday morning. Go to my Facebook page. No. Hey, Mike, sorry. Go to Christopher Wright. I met Christopher Wright this weekend. And we're going to have him on the show. And folks, I want to really, really encourage. He's a buddy, by the way, of Bevelin. Bevelin wanted to come and join us this week as well, but she was in California, Florida, someplace she couldn't. But Christopher Wright is all the rage in New York City. Christopher Wright. So he's got 21,000 subscribers. And he's doing a walkaway project of his own, walk away from the Democratic Party, walk away from racism. And he's causing quite a stir in New York. So there's his YouTube page, Christopher Wright, if you want to subscribe to it. We're going to have him on the show later on this week. And Mike, now go to my Facebook page and check out the interview that that Bobby did real quickly with Christopher Wright, if we can. Because again, I want to encourage you. Wish I knew exactly where it was, but I'll know it when I see it, Mike. I think it's probably the other way. I think it's probably down. Bear with me, folks. Is that it? Racist narrative. Yeah, that might be it. There it is. This is Christopher Wright.
Before governor named Cuomo. Those two people are destroying our state because they don't care about our state, and they don't care about minorities, they don't care about citizens here, they don't care about anybody but their fat little pockets. They don't even care about. And we're coming here to show people there's another option. You want to try to clean up New York City? Mayor Giuliani was able to do it. Why was Giuliani able to do it? Because of Republican policies. need to get our Republicans in office. You got my man Derek Gibson out here working governor. We're going to get the Republicans out there. And if the Republicans out there will turn New York red and help me set New York
so help me out here, Derek. Derek's running for governor. Just we're out here speaking the truth. Are you guys really swimming upstream that much against Black America, or are there more guys that agree with you than we even understand? What do you think, Derek?
There are a large percent of Black people think just like we think, and they are Black Republicans, but they are quiet because they work for someone. I don't work for anyone. I'm retired, and I'm a businessman. I work for myself so I can speak out and say what I want to say. And you can't, there's nothing you can do to stop me. I am a Black Republican. There are many more Black Republicans, such as Chris right out here, that speaks out loudly. But I understand why some are silent in this environment, because they'll lose their well-being.
Amen. God bless you guys, man.
Thank you.
Hey, I heard you were talking truth. Republicans being the party of anti-slavery. Can you go ahead and elaborate? I missed a lot of what you were saying.
Yeah, what I was saying is, if you do the research and you study both parties, the Democrat Party and Republican Party, when you do the research, you'll see the Democrat Party is a party that is ones that were behind slavery, they were behind lynching, they were behind segregation, they were behind Jim Crow, they were behind anything that hampered the Black community in a big way. You look at Black Wall Street, there was multiple ones in the country at one time. All three were burned down by the Democratic Party. Woodrow Wilson, brought back the KKK in the early 1900s when they were starting to die away. So Democrats throughout American history have always been against Black people. They've never helped Black people out. They've always been against us. They always wanted to control us. They always wanted to remove the Black father from the household to control the family unit. They try to do it during slavery by physically removing the father, and they've done it now, currently, mentally removing the father out of the household through the government, making the government the father. So what I'm just trying to do out here is educate the Black community and let them know this is the history of both parties. If you want to have anger towards a political party and a political belief system, you want to take Republicans, don't put that energy towards the Republican Party. Put that anger towards the Democrat Party, because if you look at the history, the Democrat Party is the ones producing all the hate towards the Black community that you're angry about.
Why is it that when we say these things to people, that they refuse to accept it, act like it doesn't exist, or it's not? It's like you didn't even make a dent? Why is that?
My opinion is because the main reason is the hard-headed. I come from a hard-headed family myself, you know, a lot of aunts, very hard-headed. So what happens is when people hear the truth, like when I heard the first time I heard the truth, what happened with me, it angered me, and it saddened me a lot. And I heard it from Dinesh D'Souza in Hillary's America. If you haven't seen it, I recommend seeing it. Dinesh D'Souza, Hillary's America. When I saw moving to theater, it brought me to tears at the end, because there's so much history I didn't realize about the Democratic Party and Republican Party. And I love history. I should have known. But it has been hidden to me through the education system, through my family. Nobody knows the true history of both parties, but an outsider from the country that tell me about it. And when I did the research and I found out the truth about the Republican Party and Democratic Party, I just backed off. And because I'm not a hard-headed person, I know I'm a human being like everybody else who walks this earth. Sometimes I'm going to be wrong, sometimes I'm going to be right. When I'm wrong, I don't get angry and double down on my ignorance. I accept that I was wrong and I move on. A little personal story of mine, when I was younger, I had a good friend of mine from Baltimore, a white guy. He grew up in a Baltimore single-parent household, murder capital, all that good stuff back then. I came from a two-parent household. He supposed to have the privilege, but didn't. We grew up together, became best friends, and he became a conservative before I did. We got in an argument with heated argument.
Okay, so we're going to have Christopher on here in the next couple days. There's something extremely powerful about a Black man that speaks the truth. And we engaged, we had several, I'm just telling you, man, it was powerful. Christopher and the guy that's running for governor, I can't remember his name, the other Black man standing back there. The way that they were able to dismantle the argument of the leftists is something that you and I can't do, because they immediately yell race, immediately do. And a well-educated, well-spoken guy like Christopher was really, really powerful. So we're going to have him on. And then, Mike, go to my, I will show you another one, folks. I was encouraged. You say, Coach, why are you talking so much about race? Because this is the main way that they're winning the battle, folks. Mike, go to our email, and it says, I sent it to you this morning, I'm sure, and it simply says racial division. Racial division. We came across this one. Folks, it's everywhere. They are so lying to us and manipulating us. This is another video at a Trump rally of another Black man saying the exact same thing. Go ahead and play that real quick, Mike.
Going through anything, and she ain't been through no racism. Nobody's treating her bad. in a black neighborhood, black on black crime is real, and most of them are dying from black crimes. White people aren't doing anything to them. White people voted Barack Obama in for 8 years. 8 years. Everything that the blacks could be crying about should have did it on his watch. That's and right. They didn't. Well. I'm black, 52. I'm not oppressed. Ain't nobody oppressing me. America is more free than it's ever been.
That's right.
And every black person know that.
That's Amen. Right.
So to keep listening to somebody making you think they've gone through this, some little young 19-year-old black person, they've been through this. They ain't been through nothing. That's They're right. creating it. They're creating a problem that does not exist, like they're talking about. Is there racism? Of course. But overall, you understand how far we've come? Huh? Yeah, do you understand how far we've come? We have now in America, white mothers and fathers are allowing their daughters to marry black folks. Y'all know this stuff that don't exist like it used to.
Yes, sir.
Years ago, a white girl could have never. I'm married to a Caucasian woman, the most beautiful woman in the world. So all this talk about racism and all this, don't listen to it. It's a lie. They don't know who they're mad at. Remember, this started with George Floyd. It went from George Floyd to now it became the white people. Then it went from the white people. Now it's the whole system of America. They don't know what they're mad at. They don't know what they're bothered by. All we're saying, you guys, don't get caught up in the hype. It's all wrong. I am the happiest man. I'm one of the happiest men in the world. I'm one of the happiest, blessed men in the world. If you could see my life, I thank God. But that's what I told them. I'm not oppressed. The only people that's oppressed in this world is people that embrace being oppressed. If you want to complain about something, there's a million things to complain about, but why not be grateful at what you have? Yes. And this is what I say. Yes. If they're so bothered, why don't they leave and go to Africa and to another country?
Woo! Oh, I love you!
If you're that, bothered with America, pack your stuff, hold a crusade, because I think some of us will put money up and help you leave.
Folks, what if we began to, when we went to the streets, those of you who go to the streets, please hear me. This is going to make some of you so stinking mad. I told my wife this yesterday. I think it was yesterday. I'm going to challenge this. I'm going to challenge you. Maybe some of you can help me out here. I want you to go through the Bible, and I want you to find where the central focus of the Bible is getting people saved. Now wait a minute. That's the goal, to get people to receive Christ. But I want you to follow the disciples around, go in the book of Acts, and see where they're trying to get people saved. Repeat after me, say this prayer, accept Jesus in your heart. Try to find that anywhere in the scriptures. And one of the things that I believe that we need to do is we need to go to the streets and begin to speak about morality, not Jesus and getting saved and going to heaven and going to hell. Most people want to live a peaceable life. Most people do. And that's why Jesus, I had this discussion with Michelle yesterday, the first two sermons, John the Baptist and Jesus, both of them, their Repent. Initial sermon was what? Repent,
Repent,
for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. There's this kingdom thing that you can be part of, this kingdom thing that you can walk in. There's this new way of living that you can get involved in. And instead, we've made it about salvation, getting people saved so they don't go to heaven and don't go to hell. I'm going to tell you, friends, if you go through that, you're not going to find that message preached much in the Bible. You're just not going to find. Yes, we want to get people saved. But you have to get people saved out of the condition that they're in. That's what it means to be saved. That's what it means. And it's not always heaven and hell. Sometimes it's the mess that you find yourself in your life. And the reason that you are in the mess that you are in your life is you are living an immoral life. And why are you living an immoral life? Because you've turned away from the foundational principles of Christ, the kingdom principles of love your neighbor and do good. You've turned away from those. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. And if we can get people to understand that this is the way we are all supposed to live, then salvation makes sense. But we're trying to get people saved that don't even know what you're talking about. I'm sorry. I saw it again this weekend. I see it everywhere I go. Just tell people do the right thing. We do the right thing, dude. Do the right thing. Huh? Why is it wrong to kill a baby? Why? Don't say you're going to go to hell if you kill babies. Of course. Well, don't kill babies because it's the wrong thing to do. Why? Because Jesus said so. God said so. All lives are valuable. Who said so? God said so. Is God at the foundation of your life? No. Well, why not? How do you know right from wrong, good from evil? How do you know? You just make it up on your own? You make your own decision? You follow your own way? No. There's a kingdom principle here. There's a way we're all supposed to live. And we've turned so focused on getting people saved, which, by the way, we don't even do that. Yeah.
Hey, Coach. You know, the Old Testament is super, super majority of it is God dealing with how to help and make and lead and whatever he's got to do, send famines, whatever he's got to do, how to make his people live like he wants them to live.
Make disciples, Mike. Look up Webster's disciples, Mike. Go ahead, Larry.
The New Testament is super, super majority of it is exactly the same. How for his people to know how and be encouraged to and be rebuked from, but know how to live like his family.
Amen, Larry. So Mike's got up here on the screen. Put in disciple or discipleship or whatever, Mike. Type that in. See what we're supposed to make disciples, not get people saved. Salvation is a byproduct of discipleship, folks. We got it backwards. A disciple is a learner, a scholar, one who receives or professes to receive instruction from another. Out of the disciples of Plato, a follower, an adherent to the doctrines of another. Hence, the constant attendants of Christ were called his disciples. And hence, all Christians are called his disciples as they profess to learn and receive his doctrines and his precepts. To disciple is to teach, to train, or bring up, not just get them saved. To make disciples of, to convert to doctrines or principles. Why is murder wrong? Who says? Why is abortion murder? Who says? Otherwise, do you hear him say it all the time? Experts say, experts say, experts say, experts say. You know something? I'm an expert. I'm an expert in Christianity. I'm an expert. I'm an expert. I should be training people about Christianity, not training them how to get saved. Their salvation will come if we train them properly and understand kingdom principles. And this is how we're all supposed to live. And we should not be those in, listen, the church should not be training homosexuals to get saved. They should train homosexuals to be disciples and turn from their wicked ways through salvation.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
It's ridiculous you got fired for having your team pray before a game.
Can you think of anything? Can you think of anything better for the kids than that, Vinny? Can we think of anything better than that? Anything better? Making disciples. Me as a coach showing an example of how a man ought to live his life. Praying, doing what's right, speaking the truth, treating one another. See, that's, you make disciples. When people act like that, salvation follows, or salvation's in the midst of. It's not a works gospel. I'm not talking about works. No, no. Don't send me any emails. It's It's not what I'm talking about.
So
I'm talking about a world in which we all live by the same set of principles. That's what it means to make disciples. That's what it means when you sent your kids originally to public schools. Why? So they would train them in the things of Christ. That's why they were sent to the public schools, so that everybody would believe the same principles. We don't do it anymore. We don't do it. Christian principles aren't even permitted in the public schools. We're worried about getting them saved. Yeah.
Hey, Coach. The weekend before last, when we were in St. Louis, Missouri, the cop's statement when we pulled away from there, because it was just hours and hours, 2 hours, the cops all sit and listen to that message of three street preachers preaching on repentance. Repent. Cop told us when we left, we thanked them. They looked at us and said, listen, if more people were like you out here, it would make our job easier. They're wanting us to come out and take that message.
We will see, yes. What, folks, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, that's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. That's the message that we ought to be spreading. Does somebody think I'm a heretic? Can somebody show me specifically where Jesus himself or any of his disciples were about getting people saved, saying a prayer? Anywhere? Go make disciples, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. It's about kingdom. Kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, Coach. You touched on something. You know, in reading about the church in Iran, that's exactly what they do. They invite people in. They invite people into the church, all right? They don't try to get them saved. And then salvation comes afterwards. They try to disciple them first, and then they get saved. Yes.
We do the opposite, don't we? We want to get them saved and then disciple them. They want to disciple them and lead them to Christ. We don't. Oh, my goodness. I told somebody again this week, when I'm out, when I'm out doing street ministry, I don't lead with the Bible. I'm telling you, I keep that in my pocket for later on. I lead with kingdom principles. This is right and this is wrong. You know it's right and wrong. Why? Why? Why do you know it's right and wrong? Who says it's right and wrong? Why is it wrong to be mean to somebody else? Why? Where does that come from? To win the secular argument and lead them to Christ. Make disciples. Tell them, show them, discipline them, instruct them. Then they'll want to come and be part of the kingdom. We want them to get in the kingdom, and then we got to retrain them. Oh, my goodness. Hey, I got one more thing I got to show you. I got 8 minutes left. This is a whole different topic, okay? But I've got enough emails that I just got to show you. Hey, Mike, click on Nephilims in North America, Nephilim Giants in North America. This is a web page, a Facebook page of Fritz Zimmerman. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Fritz Zimmerman or not. Fritz Zimmerman is one of the modern experts on fallen angels, Nephilim. Very soft-spoken, unassuming guy. This is his web. Listen, this is his Facebook page. All right. And Mike, just scroll down here if you can, because people have all of a sudden becoming somewhat fascinated by this. The Encyclopedia of Ancient Giants in North America. It's a book that Fritz Peterson wrote. 888 giant humans have been found across North America. 888 skeletons have been found across America. Did you guys know that? 888 giants, skeletons of giants. And then Fritz links to the articles. Look at this one. The New Herald, Hillsborough, Ohio, October 11th, 1894. A remarkable cave has been discovered in the farm of James Thompson near Winchester, Ohio. Large flat rock was found in one of the rooms with a hollowed center supposed to be used as a basin. It was made of rough rock, resembling in its nature a common milk crock. Several bones were found of men of gigantic stature. How about in New Philadelphia, Ohio, February 24th, 1871? A giant skeleton, 8 feet 6 inches in length, was recently found on the farm of John Buck in Athens County, Lodi Township, in an old mound. How about the Washington Times, October 27th, 1918, St. Mary's, Ohio, out on the west end of of the state. The skeletal remains of a giant human were excavated by a dredge near Lake St. Mary's East Bank. The weight of the thigh bone is such that professional evidence was necessary to establish its human origin. Giant human skeletons discovered in Belmont County, Ohio. When? Well, how about Burlington, Iowa, August 27th, 1918. Giant human skeletons discovered in Belmont County. A human skull, almost twice the size of those of present day, look as if the lost race were Croatians and Phoenicians. The work of removing the old Indian mound in Walnut Grove, Martins Ferry, near Bel Air, goes on slowly, owing to the care exercised that none of the interesting relics to be found in it to be lost. Probably the most interesting article taken from the mound is a huge skull, which seems would seem to indicate that the days of the mound builders, there were giants abroad. How about the Journal News of Hamilton, Ohio, March 7th, 1892? A large human skeleton, face downward, was discovered in the Baptist Cemetery of Trenton while a new grave was being dug a few days ago. The indications are that the person whose identity was unknown was buried alive. How about the history of Brown County, Ohio? Mastodonic remains are occasionally unearthed, and from time to time, discoveries of remains of Indian settlers are indicated by the appearance of giant skeletons with high cheekbones, powerful jaws, and massive frames peculiar to the red man, who left these as the only record which to form a clue to the history of past ages. Giant humans discovered in Clark County. Giant humans discovered in Coshocton County. Giant human skeletons discovered in Delaware County. Swiss cross. Giant humans discovered in Fairfield County, Ohio. Giant human skeletons discovered in Fayette County, Ohio. Giant human skeletons discovered in Franklin County. Oh, did you guys have any idea? Did you have any idea? Did you know? Fritz Zimmerman, we'll put this in the show notes down there so you can go down and dig it up for yourself. Folks, I don't know. But history is our history is replete with this kind of stuff. It's replete. And all we did was say, well, it was the Indians. Well, giant Indians? 8 feet, 9 inch Indians? Is that really? If there were 8 feet, 9 inch Indians, why didn't they call them something other than redskins? Why didn't they call them tall skins or large bones or redskins? What? How come nobody mentioned? Oh, man. I'm going to tell you this one, too. I'm going to kind of end on this one. I don't care if you think I'm crazy. I don't care. Do you know, guys, do you know why in human folklore, Western folklore, Kemosabe, do you guys know the origins of that? Do you know the origins? They said how.
Yeah, they wanted to make sure they had five fingers.
They wanted to make sure they had five fingers and not six. Nephilim had six fingers. So when they raised their hand and said, how, they were showing you 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm a five-fingered guy here. Five-fingered. All of this has been buried. All of this. One of the most pretentious mounds in the county was what that which was formerly occupied the crowning point of the highland on the eastern side of the Scioto River. This is downtown Columbus, a spot where now rises St. Paul's Lutheran Church and adjoining buildings. And on the southeast corner of High and Mound Street in Columbus, not a trace of this work is left save the terraces of the church, although it was vet standing as it stood a century ago. It would be remarked as one of the most imposing monuments of the original Scioto race. Scioto race, they called them. When the first settlers came, it was regarded as a wonder and vet, and yet it was not spared. As was usual with such works, it was in the form of a truncated cone. Its base diameter not less than 100 feet. And all who remember the opening of the mound have a mile of information to add to the story of its demolition. The father, late William Platt, found a skull so large that it would go over his own head. Get the complete documents describing the giant human skeletons discovered in Ohio. Get all the historical accounts of giants discovered in Ohio. Fritz Zimmerman's book. I'll get Fritz on. Maybe I'll try to get a hold in the Encyclopedia of Ancient Giants in North America. Fritz Zimmerman. Wow! I just wanted to leave you with that one here on a Tuesday morning. You get up, you can be reflecting on that a little bit. Remember, it's not what you know that counts, as what you don't know. Oh, so much we don't know. Hey, be encouraged. Be encouraged. You got 90 days left. I believe that they're going all in with all of their weapons. And Mike Heath, I think we're going to win. I think we are going to win. I think they've already lost. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.